I was expecting a few minutes of announcements there to get my notes ready, but Ryan threw me off there. I don't know that we've ever not had announcements. Well, good morning. It's always so good to be in the house of the Lord with His people and celebrate and worship together. I can't help but share a welcome to those who have come from family. It's summertime. We have people coming from all over. And we have family that I saw walk in the door at the last minute all the way from Australia that are here today. I just don't actually know where they are. Wherever they are, in the back here. Wave to us, guys. They've come from my sister and her husband, planted a church there, how long ago? 13, 14, something like that, years ago, and they never came back. And they had kids over there. I can't believe you guys did that and didn't come back. And their boys look like surfers. That's not a coincidence, because they are surfers, and they make me look terrible when I go out surfing with them. They're amazing. So good to have you guys. And any family and friends who are here today, from wherever you have come, we're so glad to have you here. Well, we've been working through the Gospel of John together as a family. And we're doing quite well this year. We're well known for getting stuck in one chapter for like a year. But we're on to chapter 6, which is exciting. We're flying through it here at mock speed. And those of us who are in the teaching are pretty proud of ourselves for doing that. As we go through Scripture, we're so blessed to have God's Word, which is so precious to us because it gives us insights into so many things. God didn't leave us here without a clue as to what this is all about, what is going on in life. But He's given us His Word, and we get to see the eyewitness accounts of Jesus when He was here and how amazing His life was. And today we're going to continue on this journey of exploring the life of Christ and just how amazing it really is. And Scripture tells us that when we look at Jesus, we see exactly what God is like. And so if you've ever wondered what God is like, we go to His Word and we look and we read about Jesus and we can actually say, oh, okay, that's what God's like. He's a nice guy. Things like that. So it's a blessing to have His Word this morning. In the Scriptures we looked at last week, we saw that Jesus fed the 5,000. And at the end of this story, we saw that the people wanted to take Him and force Him to be king. For those of you who are here, you remember we talked about that. We talked about how they gathered, that this thing was building, the excitement was building, and this is it. They can't take it anymore. They realize that Jesus is the guy that the prophets had predicted was coming to build this kingdom of God that God had said He was going to build, a kingdom that would last forever, and that this is the king that he says just before this, I am the king, and they're all realizing this at the same time. He acknowledges it Himself, and this momentum is building, and they want to drag Him off and make Him king right there. And of course, we talked about how many of us try to get Jesus to build our own kingdoms and the kingdom that we want Him to build. But actually, He's building His kingdom, and we're supposed to come under His direction and His leadership to join with Him in the kingdom He's building. So that's where we kind of left off last week. And just when you think Jesus can't do anymore, when you think you've got Jesus figured out, when you think that, yeah, I know who He is now, I got this. Let's read what happens in the following story here. So John chapter 6, starting at verse 16. We should have that on the screen there. If you don't have your Bibles, we can all follow along. John chapter 6, verse 16. When evening came, His disciples went down to the lake, where they got into the boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But He said to them, "It is I. "Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Let's just ask the Lord to bless his word this morning. So, Father, we look to you today to reveal your heart to us through your words. We're so thankful to have them. And we ask that you'd speak to each of us in that special way that you do, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. And I would say one of the dangers today is for us to lose the incredibleness of this story simply from knowing it so well and hearing it so many times. In fact, I would say John has even done that himself here, because this is the third time we see this story presented in the Gospels, and his Gospel account came much later than Matthew and Mark and the others that wrote, and so he's probably heard this story a million times himself. It's been well documented, and he doesn't even get into all the details of the story himself. And he just kind of says, yeah, and then Jesus walked on the water, blah, blah, blah. Now let's get back to character development, which John spends so much of his time doing, about the bread of life and Jesus. He just kind of just rushes through the story here. And so if it's all right with you, I'm going to also include some of the parts from the original versions in Matthew and Mark today to help build this story a little bit bigger than John did. But John, at the very least, certainly, I think, captured the heart of the story for us. So as we work through this together, we'll draw from all the accounts, and I'll refer to those. And I also want you to use your imagination a little bit. Again, John is not Tolkien, so he hasn't painted a picture here for us, other than saying, yeah, it was a little rough and the waves were blowing and there was some wind. He hasn't painted the picture, but for the kids, where's all the kids? Are kids here today? You guys know how to use your imagination, right? The moms and dads, not so much. But kids are good at this. But moms and dads, I want you to picture this story a little bit today. I don't want you to give yourself a hernia or anything doing this, but try to use your imagination. Try and use those old gears. You may not have used them for a while. But try and picture the story of the disciples out in a rowboat. They're rowing in this, and the storm picks up. And the winds are coming against them, and they are struggling to get anywhere. They're out. Apparently, this lake is about 5 miles across, and sounds like they're about in the middle. And they're not getting anywhere anymore. They're fighting the waves. Has anyone ever been in a rowboat in that situation? Toy has. Anyone else? Anyone? A couple over here? Anyone else? Have our Australian surfers ever been in a situation out in the ocean? Not very many of us. Apparently, I am not fit with the statistics, apparently. I've been in this situation several times in life. Am I the only one, Harley? Come on. You can't picture what's happening here? Let me help you. All right, we have a boat. Okay. I don't think you're quite getting the seriousness of this situation. We have a boat. And somebody is out there paddling, okay? Let me help your imagination. I wouldn't go on this boat, but all right, you're paddling, you're having a nice day. Suddenly the wind picks up. You're like, whoa, this is getting a little wavy, okay? Then the water starts splashing over the hull, and you're just paddling along. And there's a critical point in this story when you start clenching your teeth a little bit, you start paddling a little bit harder, you stop joking, this isn't fun anymore. Anyone been in that situation? I feel like I've been in there several times in a boat against the wind, and the waves are crashing and your boat is starting to take on water, which means it's getting heavier, and you're paddling harder, and there's this critical point where you're like, oh man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Wherever I'm attempting to go, I don't think I've gained any ground in the last 5 minutes. And so you start paddling harder. And you dig in and you start hitting the communion table. And you're digging in and you're just starting to give it everything you've got, and you're looking for landmarks or anything to see if you're gaining any ground, and you're not. And you're stuck like in this position where you're not gaining any ground. And what starts to come? It's not fun anymore. You start to feel fear. You start to feel anxiety. You start to feel like, how's this going to end? What are my options here? And this is the situation that the disciples find themselves in this story. They are at this point in the lake, miles from land, and they don't know how this story is going to end. Now we do, but they don't. So put yourself in their situation. One of these times in my life, I was in a two-man kayak, and in the back of the kayak was Gary Stevenson. So that may have been part of the problem. Gary slightly outweighs me, and if you can picture two of us in a kayak, and we are fighting the waves and fighting the wind, and I'm paddling, and maybe I was in the front, so maybe my paddles weren't even in the water. I'm not sure exactly. Maybe my choice of a partner maybe that was the whole problem, but we were not making up any ground, and we were trying to get to this rope, a floating rope out in the ocean, to which was attached an anchor. I'm not going to tell the story of how this rope, floating rope with an anchor, got there, but it involves Bishop Todd, Gary, and a rubber dinghy. And that's how we ended up with just a rope in the middle of the ocean that we were trying to get back to. But anyways, we're fighting together to get to this rope, to get our kayak anchored, and we are not making up any ground. And these are the situations that the disciples find themselves in. It is a difficult spot where they don't see they have the strength to even do this anymore. And they're losing the battle. And then what happens in this situation? Before we jump there, although you've maybe never been in that situation with Gary Stevenson in a kayak out in the ocean, how many of you have been in a situation in life where you feel like you're giving it everything you got and you're not getting anywhere? Sometimes you feel like you've gone backwards. Sometimes you feel like life is just sending stuff your way and you just can't make up any ground. Has anybody been in that situation in life? Okay. So now we can talk about something we can all relate to. This is where it comes into life. And we always face these situations where it starts to feel hopelessness starts to rise in us. Where we start to feel like, is this even worth it anymore? I don't even know what all this effort was for. And I feel like I'm losing ground. And fear starts to come in, anxiety, worry, doubts. And we've all been in those situations in life. And sometimes storms come in just suddenly. Sometimes severe ones, and tragedy comes. And terrible things come, and they just sideswipe things we weren't expecting. We were expecting a nice little cruise out on the lake, and suddenly everything changes. And you're caught in something, and you didn't even see it coming. And I have no doubt that there's some folks here today, you're caught in a situation like that, where life has just brought you something, and you are now stuck. And you are feeling lost and hopeless, and fear is ruling the day. And so these are situations that we face in life regularly. And so this story can be very helpful to us when we're in these situations in life. We had a family camp, our first ever family camp as a church. I don't know if anyone is here who was part of that. The Crawfords, I don't know if they're here this morning, but there was a few, Jody and his family, and we had our first ever, we thought this great idea to go on a family camp out in Enchant. We looked at a little campground. Anybody been out to Enchant? Yeah. Little campground out there. I thought it was a great idea. Gonna have a family camp out there. And well, I hadn't done much camping in the prairies. I'd come from BC, and so I just assumed that you just go camping, it's gonna be a great time. So I ended up going on holidays. We'd planned a bunch of events this summer, and all these families went on this our first ROL family camping trip, and they got all set up with their campers out there, and the Crawfords came, and it's the first, they came from England, so they hadn't done any camping before. They bought all new gear, and they were all ready for this great adventure, and so this great first ever ROL family camp. And, well, to very quickly tell you what happens in this story, it turns into a middle of the night storm comes in. And not just any storm, but like tornado warning storm comes in. And suddenly it just gets nuts, and there is thunder and lightning and hail just pummeling them. And some of the like a tent trailer starts lifting off the ground. And like, so everybody goes into absolute panic mode. Middle of the night, people are running, tents are now getting shredded. People are running into tents, moving kids into like heavier, you know, campers and that. And it's just absolute chaos in the middle of the night. And the guys are running around, they're grabbing pots to put on their head because the hail is coming down in monster sizes. And it's just destroying this campsite. And so needless to say, we've never returned to Enchant for an ROL family camp. We're happy to say our kids are camping right now in the wilderness where I don't think tornadoes come. But in the middle of the night, one of them actually, when they were out trying to, some of them were actually literally hanging on to the tent trailer, like trying to weigh it down. And they actually saw funnel clouds coming down and touching down, and they thought, this is it. Like, this is it. And it was so bad. And they thought this was going to be it. And so that's the kind of feelings that arise when storms come in suddenly, unexpected, the fear. And life can just hit us that hard sometimes. And so we recognize that whether it's just struggling against the wind and the waves or whether it's a storm, these are real situations that we face in life, and it can make life very challenging. And so in the midst of this story, in the midst of this situation, something happens here. Jesus comes walking to them on the water. Is this not just the craziest thing ever? So the last thing that I expected when I'm out in a kayak in an ocean, paddling, just trying to fight, and all the thoughts that are going through my mind, the last thing that's going to come into my head is, I wonder if I'm going to see Jesus walk by. Never entered my head. I doubt for our families at Enchant, they were just expecting to see Jesus walk by. And in fact, in the Gospel of Mark, it actually says that Jesus was about to pass them by. It's like, Jesus, what were you doing? Just out for a stroll? Just waving to the guys? Was he just going to pass them by? Maybe he'd already been by a couple times and they hadn't noticed him. I don't know what's going on here, but Jesus is just passing by. Hope they, you know, he's such a gentleman, isn't he? Maybe too much sometimes, it seems. Maybe he should have said, hey guys, you need help over there. Just going to pass by and see if they need, you know. He always waits for us to invite him, doesn't he? He's always waiting for us. He doesn't barge into our lives. He just kind of keeps passing by. You know, I see you're in a tough spot there. Do you want any help there? I'm here. But sometimes we don't invite him into our situations. But the disciples at some point saw him. And initially this didn't help, because in Mark and Matthew we read that they thought he was a ghost. Because like me, they were probably not thinking they were going to see Jesus come by. And so they're like, so the situation's just now gotten worse, okay? They are now about to die, and now they don't care that they're going to die anymore because there's a ghost, and they're freaked out of their mind. It says they're terrified because they see a person walking on the water. So now they're totally freaked out because this is not what they would expect to see in this situation, and it's actually worse than the situation they're in. And so they're terrified at first. And as Jesus approaches them, he speaks to them. He says, it's me, guys. It's me. It's okay. It's okay. And we need to recognize that when we're in those situations in life, when life is beating us up and we're starting to fear and anxiety and worry, we have a choice we can make at that point. We can embrace that fear. We can embrace those feelings and let them just take over, and we can act out of those things, or we can start to look for Jesus. Start to look for him. If I'm in the storm, the good news is Jesus is there with me. He's not going to leave me alone. In Mark, it says that when Jesus was on the hill praying, he saw them struggling. He looked out and he saw them struggling. And so he went to them walking on the water. When he saw them struggling, when he saw life was going to take them out, these waves, the wind, they weren't making any progress. He saw them and he came to them in the storm. And he said, "It's okay. It's me. I'm here." They didn't even recognize him in the storm. And he had to clarify who he was. "It's me, guys. It's okay." And in the storms of life, it's hard for us to see Jesus, but that's what we need to do. We need to change our focus to actually look for him, to zoom in and focus on him, not on the problems, not on the waves, because he is there in all of the storms, in all of the situations in life that we face. And the thing that I love about this story is it reveals to us the heart of God, the Father heart of God in this situation, that when he sees his children struggling and finding it hard to make it, he runs to them at those times. He comes to them and he wants to be there for them in these moments. It reminds me of this past week. We've had numbers of storms that have come through Lethbridge. We've had all kinds of thunderstorms. And where's Liberty? Are you here, Libby? Is she back there? Can you come up here and help me for a minute, Libby? Do you want to come help Dad? So we've had these storms, and there was an interesting, one of them was rolling through, and there was an interesting situation that happened with Libby here. And as I was preparing for this message, the Lord brought me back to it, and I couldn't help but think of her. And she was sitting on the steps, just sit on the steps here. And she was sitting on the steps in our house, and the storm is rolling through, and I'm down in the living room, and our staircase goes up to the upstairs, and there's windows all around, and we're all kind of enjoying the thunderstorm. And the thunderstorm is just, it's just raining, and hailing starts, and there's thunder and lightning, and everybody's kind of looking out the windows and excited, and suddenly I catch this whimpering noise. And I turn around behind me, and there's Libby, all just like that, curled up on the steps. Do you remember this, Libby? You were sitting there, and she had two of her blankies, and she was just sitting there all curled up, whimpering in the middle of the storm. And as I was watching her, something rose up in me as a dad. I was sitting over here, and I turn around, and here we're all kind of, admiring the storm. And I turn around and see my little girl sitting there, overwhelmed by the storm, full of fear, and just cuddled in a little corner. What do I do in that situation as a dad? What rises up in me? Is it, "Oh, come on, Libby, be a big girl now"? No. My natural first instinct is to run to her and say, "Oh, Libby, it's okay. It's okay. Do you want to sit with Daddy?" And what'd you say? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we sat together, and I said, "Oh, honey, are you scared of the storm?" And what'd you say? Mm-hmm. And I said, "Oh, honey, it's okay. You come and sit with me here. Come on, sit with Daddy. You don't have to be scared of this storm." And did it help when you got to sit with Daddy? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we sat together, and we sat for a little while, and suddenly did that storm seem less scary? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just sat with her. That's all it took. Dad was here, and she felt like things are going to be okay. And when the storms of life come in, that's what our Father wants to do with us. He just wants to be there for us. He just wants us to say, he's just saying, "I'm here. I'm here, I'm with you," and all we have to do is welcome that. Just welcome him into our lives. Let his presence come and take over. Let his presence be there. Somebody bigger than the storm has arrived on the scene. someone who's more powerful, who's not afraid of the storm, has arrived. And it even leads us into to do things that we might not normally do. In the story in Matthew's account, he talks about how Peter, once he was calmed by his heavenly Father, once he saw this was Jesus, it changed everything for him. And he's like, hey, Jesus, hey, can I walk on the water too? Hey, Jesus, can I step out of the boat? It changed him from terrified of the situation to, hey, this isn't so bad. Hey, Jesus, can we walk on the water together? You're just walking on the water. Like that looks kind of fun. It just changed everything for Peter in that situation. And it changed everything for Libby in this situation. And I tried to make you feel better too in this let's make the storm fun. And so I thought of that Enchant story, and I thought of my brother running around with a pot on his head. And I thought, that sounds like fun. And so I grabbed a kitchen bowl, and I said, hey, Libby, watch this. And then what did Daddy do?
Run outside.
And what did I do outside? Remember? Did I run around with a pot on my head in the hail?
Mm-hmm.
Did that make you laugh?
Not really.
No. Did it make you feel better?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I went around and I ran around with a bowl on my head, and my wife fortunately pointed out at some point, you do realize you're running around in a thunderstorm with a metal pot on your head. So I decided that maybe wasn't a good idea. But I was trying to make her feel better. Sure, the storm isn't so scary. And we ran around out there. And then your sister, what did she do? She was trying to help too. What did she bring you?
Hail.
She brought you a big ball of hail. And what did you do with it?
Ate it.
You ate it? Was that fun?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was fun. Thank you, Libby. Let's give her a big hand for helping me. So that is a picture for us of what's happening in this situation. The heart of God, when we're in these situations, he wants to run to us. And when we're feeling all those things, we can just turn to him, and he just wants to come and comfort us and be there for us. Everything just changes when God shows up in our storms. We know we're going to be okay because someone bigger and stronger than the storm is here. And we look at the storm differently through his eyes. So when storms come, whatever they are, whether it's a financial storm, whether it's something at work or tragedy, or whether it's just frustration with life, you're just not getting anywhere, you're not going where you feel even God wants you to go. Whatever the situation, we can watch for God and we can expect God. We can expect him to show up, and not just based on this story, but here's a couple of verses for you, just again to give you this, the heart of God here. In Deuteronomy, he says, he is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. In Psalms, he says, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. The Lord delights in those who fear him. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And so we can put our faith in him in these situations. We don't have to doubt for a second that he's not there with us in the storm. He's there on his throne in heaven. He's here when we meet together in church. He's there blessing you in the good times, but he is not absent in the hard times. He's right there with you, and he wants to bless you in those seasons. This story ends in the other accounts. It says when Jesus climbed into the boat with the disciples, the winds died down. The storm just came to an end. And everything changed. And it left them in the state of just shock. We just saw Jesus walk on the water, climb into this boat, and the storm just stopped. And it left them with the only thing that they could do. And Mark, it tells us they worshiped him. When you're out of words, when you don't know what else to say, when you see Jesus in that way, when you see how awesome he is, when you see how loving he is, it leads us to this place where all we can do, the right thing to do, is to worship him. And so we're going to give you a chance to do that this morning as we go into communion and we worship together. And then what's kind of funny at the end, the last line of the story says, they were immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed. Immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed. So they're out in the middle of the lake. They encounter Jesus. I'm sure they stopped rowing when they saw this all taking place. Normally when you stop rowing in life, you stop fighting, you drift back to where you started. Would have been the normal progression of the story. But they took in Jesus. Peter tries to walk on the water, tries a few things. They go into a state of worship, and suddenly they have arrived where they were trying to go all this time. You ever been in that situation where you finally just focused on Jesus in the middle of your situation? You just zoomed in on him. You just put aside all your fears, and all of a sudden, bang, you're there. It's all the problem solved, whatever the situation is. I love that happens in this story, whether this was a miraculous thing or what, we don't know. But they had arrived where they were wanting to go all along. And so that's what we can do in these situations in life. So this morning, as we transition to communion and worship, an opportunity to respond to the Lord, we take time to remember Jesus, to remember the words that he said, to remember stories like this, and to remember the greatest story of all, where he went and purchased us, paid for our sin, and brought us into his family, made a way for that, and we relive salvation through communion again. We relive it, we embrace it anew and afresh. We ask Jesus to save us again today, and we do this together as a community, and we walk through it together today. So what a beautiful opportunity to do that at this time. So we always start communion with repentance, because right relationship with the Lord always starts there. And so I invite you to consider ways that you need to repent today. Perhaps as we've gone through the story, you've maybe noticed that you've been ignoring Jesus at times when you're in these situations. Maybe you haven't been looking for him. Maybe you've been mad at him because of the storms that have come your way. Maybe you never saw Jesus as the man who walked on water. You've just belittled these stories, and you haven't recognized how awesome that is, and you haven't welcomed faith to grow in your heart the way that it should. And so as we go into a time of repentance, we can put all this before the Lord, and he can wash us and cleanse us and put us on a clean slate with him again today for relationship with him. So if you're new today, we will invite you to come, those to the front to receive. And we will, for those who have been baptized, we invite you, it doesn't matter what church you're from, we invite you to participate in communion with us. And for those of you that haven't been baptized, we still invite you to come and just cross your arms, because Jesus is glad you're here today. And Jesus wants you to come and receive from him today. And even if you haven't been baptized, which is the initiation into the family of God, is what that is. If you're not familiar with what that is, it's when we officially become part of his family. Okay? And that's when we come to his table to eat a communion. But even if you haven't made it, please come. Doesn't matter what state. If you feel God speaking to you today, we all came to him long before we ever had our first communion. He drew us. He started a work in us. And so just come, cross your arms, and someone is going to pray for you and bless the journey that you're on with God, and that you will continue to see him rightly, and that your eyes will be open to him, And so we just invite you to come. And so worship team and Ryan, come and lead us in communion today. And whatever walk of life you come from today, we want to invite you to come and join us as we meet with Jesus in a special way through his table today. Amen.
Thanks, Jeff.